Greetings, pals.
Greetings, pals.
Hello, pals.
Welcome to the podcast, Throwing the Pal. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name is Tom.
And Tom can't reach his drink. There he goes.
Oh, and he's pulled a muscle. Oh.
This is the podcast, Love It or Hate It, We Debate It, and of course, it being movies.
Oh, is that what? God damn it. I should have checked.
Language.
I just had no idea this entire time, you know?
So what have you accidentally been doing then? Because
being pals with you, apparently.
The worst accident you've ever made.
Yes.
All right, we're talking about Frozen. Heard of it? I always say heard of it. Talking about Frozen.
I think people have heard of it. 2013 Frozen.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, starring Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, Jonathan Groff and Josh Gad.
You pronounced
sure
her name wrong.
Did.
Adele Dazeem, I believe. That actually is.
That, give her the respect she deserves.
Put respect on her
name.
Yeah,
so Adele Dazeem.
That footage of John Travolta trying to make up for it when they're on stage together the next time and he like grabs her chin and's like, ooh, my little shtucky shtuck. And she's like, well, not this. Like, yeah, what is
you've
this?
You've done it wrong.
If they grabbed each other's chins, they would lose their thumbs, I reckon.
Directed by Christopher Buck and Jennifer Lee, written, of course, by Chris Buck, Jennifer Lee, and based on the novel by Hans Christian Andersen.
Very loosely based.
Yeah, we should say loosely based.
Yes.
This movie's
Hans
better than the novel.
Hans does not own this film. When reached for comment, he went, no.
Hans writes with heart. Yes. I'm not sure what this film is going for.
Yeah, well, let's save it. So on this film, on this podcast, we rate films out of 11. It's, you know, sliding scale, 0 to 11. It's an interesting way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas always... Well, Thomas, you're the founding father of this podcast. You
always
decided
is an
it was
oversell.
11.
Always is an oversell.
I always say something eventually.
Eventually.
I do have one for this.
Okay.
Please.
I recently watched this in, depending on your perspective, either the absolute best or absolute worst circumstances. I'd never seen this movie before and I watched it in a room full of children. Who I'm related to, my nieces and nephews, because they very much wanted to watch it while I was on holiday with them. And so we sat in an air-conditioned room and put it on, and I think 11 consecutive seconds was the maximum amount of time that went by without interruptions or crying or tantrums or fights from the children.
And what were the kids? Oh.
And then the kids were actually really well-behaved, but I was hungry and was not enjoying the film.
This is like 80 minutes of your life.
It was very funny watching children react to this, a movie that they'd seen 1,000 times and kind of taking cues from what worked on the 1,000th time and what didn't for them.
Yes.
And for me, what is the first time? I think I'd seen the first 20 minutes years ago and fell asleep. So this is my first time watching it.
And that's why we rate films out of 11.
For that, for the children.
For the children. Okay, great.
For the kids.
So shout your name if you like this film.
What's that song by...
Shout your name if you like this film.
You know the Kylie Minogue and Robbie Williams one?
Yeah, it's kids.
That song is weird. What is that about?
Shout your name if you like this film.
Okay, all right. Let's down top. Ick.
None of
us. No.
None of us.
Oh,
really?
No. Maybe the most predictable fucking thing that's ever happened.
Are you for real?
We didn't like this movie that we, a couple of weeks ago, all agreed was one of the most overrated animated movies.
Which, the reason I picked it was because people were like, Frank, you haven't seen it. You can't talk begrudgingly about it. Begrudgingly? Negatively.
Yeah.
You can't hurt its feelings. And I was like, okay. Let's watch it. Let's talk about
us.
It.
So, watch us do that.
So, let me just quickly go. Does anyone have a score?
This
then?
Episode is the opposite of stop. He's already dead. This is you guys didn't kill it. You have to go back and make sure.
We're going to have to at least highlight some good things about it, but quickly let's give some scores, some numbers out of 11, like I said.
4.8.
Oh, it's so dramatic.
It's
just
4.8. It's not too bad.
Awful.
No? I was literally going to say the same, 4.8.
Yeah?
So I'll do that same one again. Marcus's turn.
I'm a 4.6.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
The most aligned we've ever been.
Everyone I looked down at my page thinking, God, this could be it. We might all have the same score.
So maybe we'll talk ourselves into liking
it. Well, who's going to have that magic, eloquent speech that gets one of us to the 4.7?
Yeah,
you know, where you just move by one decibel.
If one of you can at least get me up 0.2.
Yeah, and
at
get
least.
Me there. That'd be crazy.
I'll try my best. Okay, well, what do we love about it? Love might be a strong word. What do
I don't think that's a great way to start because we're going to bash this movie.
I don't think we are.
Or we're going to just bash a strong word. We're not. We didn't enjoy it, and it's predictable that we didn't. It's not for us. It has a cultural legacy that is overbearing.
Mm.
It is the equivalent of. This is the thought I had during Let It Go.
Oof.
This is like the music equivalent of a Borat impression in that the second it came out, it was like, nope, I've heard it too much already. and it's just insane how much I hear this song out of context.
So the whole time you just heard, they're nice.
How would you sing Let It Go?
Let It Go!
Look at me, King of the Ice Castle, la la la.
Elsa, come down, you'll never get this.
We should just move on from that bit.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is, as much as that's true, I've now kind of immediately like transitioned into something I like. The second the song started, I was like, yeah, this still works.
No.
It worked for me.
No.
And I know that I knew coming in you guys were going to say no, but it started up and the second just Elsa's climbing that tower and she's shedding her like gear and getting into that iconic dress and that shimmer and the long blonde hair and she's singing Let It Go.
Calm.
Frank hates Idina Menzel. We need to cover that right now. You do not like Idina Menzel.
She's the worst. She's famous for singing and she cannot sing.
That's an insane take. That's
she is
so weird.
Such a bad singer.
I might let you two go.
This is Billy Elliot can't dance all over again.
Yeah, but which means Frank is wrong twice. Yes.
No, she notoriously live just blows out her voice.
Breathe.
She has the world's worst vocal technique. She screeches everything. There's no dynamic at all. Plus her tone is just rat shit to begin with. God,
maybe,
she's bad, and she's gotten worse.
Maybe she should go to Frank's school of singing then.
I can't sing. That's fine. But she can't sing, and she's famous for singing. That's not right. Something's wrong there.
I'm not going to try and get under your skin on this one on purpose, I promise.
And Let It Go is a shocking song.
I don't love
it. It's awful. It's
and
shrill.
It's not because of the overplaying, not because of just how much it's out there. I genuinely just I heard it, and I really gave this watch a chance.
Me too.
I
liked quite a bit of it.
I watched every moment. I was like, look, I'm going to look for the good here.
I watched it.
It got to Let It Go. And I'm not kidding. Asleep. For the first minute of the song, I was like, what song is this? I don't recognize it. And then it got to the chorus. I was like, oh, see, I didn't even know like the prelude, the first verse.
Everyone just knows the big belt.
That's it.
The one version that's like, here I stand, like is the one everyone knows.
And then even visually, I wasn't that impressed. I'm going to be honest.
Visually it has something. I think it is a little bit.
It seems like the design team spent so much time on swirling snowflakes that they forgot about a lot of the rest of the film. It's kind of my take.
That's actually what happened, like 100%. Like the little bit of reading I've done is like, they went out trudging in Minnesota or like to look at snowflakes and understand the texture. I'm like, well, great fucking character design while you're at
it. They worked on it for 2 years and at the end went, wait, we need a story.
Yes. Some of this looks so generic and so unmemorable.
And also
Some of it looks nice.
The face models are identical.
I think the castle at the start and the ice castle are good. That's like that's where you go. That looks pretty cool. The trolls, I think, look.
Don't fucking talk to me. If she pisses you off, these trolls pissed me off.
Okay, jeez. Language.
Sorry. The worst part of the film.
Yeah, they're not hands good. Down. They're also stupid.
Stupid.
Why can they heal? Why can they heal the ice wound in her head, but they can't heal the heart?
This could have been a better film without the trolls.
Was your high school bully a troll? You're so angry at the trolls. It's okay. I used to have to walk past a bridge every day, and there was a troll.
I felt myself seething when they were on screen. I read something
that it was like they were introduced because a marketing gazette came in and saw a run of the film. Was like, well, we need something to sell. We need a toy. To sell, so they invented these trolls.
See, that's in itself is.
I know that's not a real story, but that feels like what's happened. It's like a merchandising situation.
Which is very funny because they're the least iconic part of the movie. No one buys the trolls.
Yeah,
would even buy the
directly impacts the story somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
If it weren't for them.
And also, let's just go back to the start, right? So you've got young Jonathan Groff.
We're doing a plot synopsis here.
Sure.
We might as well if we're going to go back to the start.
Oh, we need to look at some positives here. I can see what's going to happen.
I have some surprising ones.
Okay. I am on record saying I like Let It Go. I think it's the highlight of the film.
That's the worst thing.
And it still works for
me.
And I know there are people out there who hate that. But I'm like, no, this works. I love it. It's good.
Yeah, but why does she become saucy? She puts on that dress and she's like...
Sorry.
It's proper catwalk.
It's just a weird dynamic.
That was a weird way to describe it.
What's up with that Gams? Yeah. Oh, it's got a little saucy over here.
She really does turn it on. She's roaming through that castle and having a time of it.
And also,
which is fine, I get it.
Okay, we're going back to the start. Young Jonathan Groff, whatever his character's name is, He's Christoph.
He's Christoph.
Gets abandoned by what I'm going to assume is a bunch of male ice pickers who are in the ice. And by the way, that was my favourite song of the whole thing.
That was great.
It's a strong
actually
opening.
The opening.
But what does it mean? They're like, ice is magical and cold. Hoo-ah.
Yeah. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah. No, but culturally, though, never mentioned. It sort of sets the tone a little bit. I was like, cool, so we're going to be really leaning into this, like the fjords sort
that
of thing.
Scandi
like,
vibe.
Yeah. And if the film was more of that, I could buy it.
One of the strongest moments in the film. Ooh, big summer blowout. And just straight away I'm like, love this guy.
Hilarious.
What's his vibe? Let's hang out with him for the rest of the movie.
But then, but why do they say ice is magical? And then ice isn't really spoken about except for Elsa's ice powers, but they don't go, ooh, it's magical. Yeah, they just go, she has ice powers.
What are
they
the
don't
rules?
Correlate at all.
This is all.
There's no myth or lore around it. It's just she has ice powers.
Yeah.
Even though they mentioned that ice is magical at the start.
This is all down to what you were saying before about the trolls, where it's like, it sounds like some exec came into the room and was like, you guys need something to sell. You need some cute figure. Every single thing I read about this movie was, yep. And then they kept working on it for 3 months and then they went, all right, back to the drawing board. We don't understand the plot. And then they got 10 other people in to rewrite it again. And then a week later they were like, nope, that doesn't work. So let's try it again. And this is just an amalgamation and weird. The story is just this Frankensteinian thing shambling along that doesn't really make any fucking sense.
The story is the worst part of it for me.
But it doesn't need to. It's a kid's movie. And watching it in a room with kids, I'm like, yep, this is what they wanted. They're just like, it's colourful.
But this is it.
I get it. It's a simple dynamic. Great.
It feels like they'd already cast it. They'd already written Let It Go. They'd like, right, we've got cash money here.
Mm.
Let's build around this.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of how it feels.
It probably was that.
So,
because they spent so much money getting Idina Menzel to sing it right in the studio. It would have taken 8 years.
That's it. And so I've got a point to touch on this later, but let's go back to where we were at the start. So you've got this, the ice, right? And the ice pickers and all stuff.
Yeah.
The thing is, you've got young Christoph, right? This is like a little origin, like they cram in a little origin story for Christoph,
mm-hmm.
who has the potential to be a really great and sort of overarching character here, like quite poignant to the story. They don't establish his origin at all. To me, it looks like this kid is hanging out with these ice pickers, assuming one of these people is his dad.
Yep.
And they bail.
And he's like left there with the reindeer and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they just forgot about this kid, and so now the trolls adopt him, and then that's
I think that there's meant to be a subversion there where it's when we get to that scene with Christoph later on, he's like, all right, I want you to meet my family. Now they're a little weird, and everyone's like, oh, it's all the Scandi dude, Viking dudes from earlier, and then when it turns out it's the trolls, we're like, oh, the trolls. From
you know, he's walking into the troll arena.
I don't know.
It's for kids, so we go, well, they don't care.
Yes. And Christoph being Jonathan Groff, correct?
Yes.
He sounds remarkably like Chris Pratt.
I think they're doing the good old American boy.
No, because that's how Jonathan Groff speaks.
But I kind of thought Santino Fontana.
Played Hans.
Who was, who played Prince Hans. I thought that was Chris Pratt for a little bit. I was like, is that Chris Pratt? No, it's Santino.
Santino Fontana.
I love him. I love
I
his voice.
That also,
I think he's great.
Great voice.
It sounded very similar in certain respects. And then he started to sing that song, and I was like, oh, that's not Chris.
That's not Chris Pratt.
No.
I know him mostly from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is like that musical show with Rachel Bloom, and he's so wonderful in it. So I love that he's in this, which is great. Jonathan Groff. Mm. I love Jonathan Groff. I adore the man.
Me too.
Right?
Jonathan Groff, Kristen Bell, Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Very good.
What's the thoughts on Josh Gad?
I will say, okay, here's what this
someone
episode.
Someone surely doesn't like him in this room.
I find Josh Gad to be someone that I have an immediate reaction against.
Yeah.
He is theater kid energy manifest.
Yes.
The second I see, that's it. That's the problem.
And I heard it.
And I do just kind of, whenever I would see him promote something he was in, whenever I would see, he was in Artemis Fowl, right? And he's like the muncher or whatever.
That's the world's worst piece of media.
But every time I saw him, there's something else I was looking at that he was in today and I forgot
Wolf
he was
like
in it.
Me?
Maybe. But I would just see him in different things and be like, I just can't really with this guy. He's a little much. And so
what about in New Girl when he plays Bear Claw?
I think Bear Claw's kind of funny, but it's good that he's only in three episodes.
Is this The Walking Dead?
Maybe.
I think he's in The Walking Dead.
He was in an episode of Talking Dead. I saw in his credits where he like did the talk show afterwards, so maybe he was in an episode of it. But he was in an episode of Party Down back in the day, and he was kind of perfectly cast as this little like proto Republican conservative kid. But
so that would have been like, but that would have been him coming off like Avenue Q and Book of Mormon, right?
Sure.
When he was this weird guy. It's like
got
the
this
same
Tony
as,
nomination for
the
that.
The same as Ben Platt who also came off Book of Mormon playing Elder, same character, and then went into Pitch Perfect playing a weirdo magic,
sure,
you know.
And a similar vibe where people are like, we get it. Like, but you grew up it, in the theatre, it's a little much.
But that's when it works, and then it moves into this weird thing where Ben Platt now is insufferable, and you find Josh Gad, I'm going to guess, insufferable.
I have to admit, to a point. When I think about Josh Gad, I'm like, I've barely seen him in anything. It's
not
in more,
much.
I think about the things I've
but
seen
he's in
him
this.
When he does interviews, when he promotes stuff. I remember a video going viral a couple of years ago where he was filming himself crying and he posted it to an Instagram Live and he just goes.
You don't post to an Instagram Live, you just go live.
My bad. Yeah. And he's just
cry
like
the rest of us.
Sorry,
Jesus.
Guys. And I'm not here saying, oh, what a pussy, he was crying. It just had a very like. Performative. It was sort of the
wasn't
equivalent
he,
of the Imagine song.
Yeah, wasn't he one of those? Though?
Probably.
Exactly
and that was the
say.
Thing where I'm just like, dude, I just, this is a little bit of an overshare. Like, there's not a lot of context here. All I know about you is that you're a bit much. I think Olaf's kind of good. I kind of like Olaf,
okay,
and I didn't
that,
think
geez.
I was going to.
But I didn't think I was either. I was cackling at him. Oh, he's so good. Enjoyable. He's the most lovely,
he's
hilarious part of the movie.
Very endearing.
I was like,
quite
thank
endearing.
God for Josh Gad. And his voice.
Nah,
okay.
His voice is so funny. Just the outrageous range he has, the versatility, the opera singing, plus the super high tenor, and then like the stupid laugh. He just sounds, it's just perfect. He's perfect for animation.
I'm just, the concept of Olaf annoyed me more than
Olaf.
Oh,
yeah, it's dumb. Oh, Frozen Girl made him when she was a kid.
Unintentionally, he just sort of pops
magic,
up.
Yeah, but then he just strolls into a scene.
Yeah, like
he, and you're like,
no,
they made him, I guess, yeah.
But at least it's.
But where was he this entire time? Like,
who knows?
Again, what are the rules
which
here?
Which is kind of funny, and he walks in and he's like, ow!
Presumably,
got no nose or whatever he says.
Presumably, when Elsa did like let it go and she made the world like perpetual winter, that's when he came to life. I don't know, right? Mm. We don't see that. I was very relieved that he wasn't in the movie from the start. When they first built him at the start, I was like, "Fuck, is this going to be like Donkey?
Right?
Is this just
going
to be
up.
This? Yeah. Is it? I'm just going to have to deal with this." And he is the Donkey character. He is the Mushu.
Yeah,
he's
the
sidekick. He's not in it that much. Mm. And he's quite charming.
He's great.
He runs out and he's got his body all in different parts and he says, wow, I'm out of shape. Funny. I like it. There's the bit where Anna's hairs become white and she asks Christoph if he likes it and he pauses and he goes, yes. He goes, you hesitated.
You hesitated.
Like, that's great. Mm. He, when she's standing at the Ice Palace and he's like, knock. You can just knock. Do you think she doesn't know how to knock? Like, I was like, God, he's making
and when
me laugh.
When his nose gets pushed back in his face, like, oh, I'm so cute. Look at my
little
nose.
It is good. I even had a tiny moment where I punched myself with the leg because I was so unhappy that my heart beat just a bit quicker when he said, some people are worth melting for. I was like, oh, God damn it.
I thought, because it
kind of works.
The whole crux of the movie is right about Anna's going to be saved by this act of love. I thought that was it, right?
Why
wasn't him sacrificing himself for her?
You wanted Olaf to sacrifice himself?
No, of course not.
Well, no, I did.
Because I thought that would have landed more than the act of love of Anna saving Elsa.
It's the quietly radical part of the movie that people say is endurable that we haven't gotten into, which is this is a movie that foregrounds female, not just friendship, but like familial relations. It does not make a love story, even though Christoph and Anna are a big part of it. Elsa does not have a love interest in either film, right? Mm-hmm. She's very queer-coded or at least even sort of like aromantic-coded. And that's kind of interesting.
Aromatic.
Snow down, guys. Snow down.
Jesus.
Just let it go. Let's move on.
Let it go. But it is also one of the most undercooked part of the movie.
100%.
It's like,
that
it's
ending
great
is like,
on its face, but I don't care. I don't care about you guys.
At all. No, but there's because they've been separated for what, 18 years as children, which doesn't make
any sense to begin
with. Oh, we got to lock her in a room. She would go insane. Why is she not insane?
Well, here's the thing, right? Because when they do these like future projections of what she could cause and all that, it's the big thing is fear, right?
Yeah.
It's creating fear. And so they lock her up.
Yeah. Wouldn't
like,
you?
Creating
don't the trolls
fear?
Talk about like with learning to harness it and they just go, oh no, we'll just lock
the
her away and give
her gloves.
The trolls
are so hypocritical throughout the entire film. It's
but they do also have the guiding line that could be the tag for our podcast, which is
shut up, Tom.
The heart is.
I don't remember them saying
credits.
That.
Cue credits.
This fucking guy. You remember when they said that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that rings a bell.
At least it was her head, not her heart. a heart is very hard to change, but a head can be persuaded, right? And start, and I was like, ah, that's like our pod, right? This is what we do here. It's we can't long. Really get our emotions.
I prefer love it or hate it.
We can kind of manipulate it. Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, so you never change like shit.
No, I never
do. And Frank's an ice queen.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're a silly reindeer, Marcus.
Yes, I am.
You rule. Good Sven impression.
On a side note, I want to talk about the animals real quick because you've got the horse and the reindeer as well.
Horse?
Yeah, Hans's Prince horse. Hans's horse. Yeah.
Who?
I don't remember the horse being a part of it that I cared about.
He saves Anna in the boat.
Yeah, that's one time.
But then, she rides
Let
off
me
with him.
Finish.
When she goes to get Elsa.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Is that the end of the film?
Sorry,
Anyway, Disney obviously do animals really well. Like that's like their signature thing, right? They they almost humanize it in a bit. The thing that let me finish. The thing that's starting to irritate me about Disney's take on animals and what they're doing is the big eye thing and then making them so overly animated. But all of them are dogs now.
All animals are dogs.
All animals are
dogs. Disney, yes.
By rule. Yeah. And like it was cutesy for me for a while and now I'm fed up. Now I'm a little tired of
that. I've done that. Like Entangled. That horse is like the best horse character.
It absolutely is because it's taken to such an extreme where it's like this horse can fight with a sword. Like horse is the most capable person in the movie.
Tangled was everything this film wasn't.
Tangled rules.
Tangled and is very good.
There is a literal, there's a guy called Glenn Keane maybe. I might be getting his name wrong, but he was going to adapt this. They'd been trying to make an adaptation of The Snow Queen for almost 100 years, like truly back in the days of the 30s. And I think Glenn Keane, who was an animator who had worked on a lot of Disney stuff, was going to do it, gave up and went and made Tangled instead. Uh-huh. And it's just basically like, well, yeah, that's the – why would you make Frozen now? Like now Tangled wasn't as big a success. It doesn't have, regardless of your opinion of the song, it doesn't have a Let It Go. It doesn't have a song that entered into the cultural consciousness like that. But it still had cute characters. It had a really, really good take on those, like a subversion sort of thing that was doing the Shrek, oh, what can we do with Rapunzel?
Mm. Yeah.
I loved Tangled. Yeah, I think that movie rules. This movie drools.
So
just came up with that now. Right.
Back to the cultural phenomenon that this was as well. Mm. This is my hot take on it.
And still is.
I think from my interaction with kids and their interaction with this film is that if you ask any one of them about the story, you're not going to get a lot of info out of them. If you ask them to go song to song, you're going to get the entire
thing. Hey, let's sing this song together, right? Every lyric.
So to me, like, they really hit the market, they nailed it, they got their cash, they did well, and that's your audience there. And now through that, obviously, you've got 50 billion mums all singing the same songs as well. So, like, it's almost like Stockholm Syndrome with Let It Go.
That's the fun story. The one thing I was about Idina Menzel, she's like, oh, you know, my kids sort of at school, they're like, oh, my mum sings Frozen. And then every kid is like, yeah, so does my mum.
Legit. It's good stuff. Legit.
That's funny. Yeah.
But that's it. That's the truth of it is like.
The Lopez couple who wrote this, who wrote Avenue Q, who wrote Book of Mormon.
Mm.
They wrote like 17 songs for it. Only 10 are in the movie, but like there's a lot of others. And they'd worked on it for years.
Yeah.
Like every day, every weekday for years, they were doing like Skype calls and they were just like performing what they had and all this stuff. It's insane. It's insane.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. They're
very talented songwriters. I think Let It Go is maybe the weakest in the show, so in the movie, but.
Nothing else is memorable for me.
Love is an open door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was
fine
too.
I don't like it, but it's memorable.
It's a bit dorky. It was kind of cute.
What about
I didn't mind
In Summer?
It. But it's also...
When Olaf's like, In Summer.
Also fine. I can't remember it until you said that. Like, I remember it happening, but I can't hear it. Do you know what I mean?
I think conceptually that song is pretty amazing.
I think it's really funny.
Like, that performance of that song and every time you kept being like... something, I'm in a muddle and when summer comes I'll be having a great time.
Yeah,
like, I thought that was a really clever song.
Yeah, it's a good beat.
On an actual song tune level, it doesn't really stick with
me. The thing that I do remember from it is when they're like, should we tell him? No.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. Jonathan Groff's great. He's so charming. I can do a little bit of a Butler's Pantry if you want. That's a very different one, but based on what Marcus was just getting into there.
Is it about this film?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let him have it.
In a pantry with a mic.
Better be good.
The Butler's Pantry.
Okay, so Human Centipede came out like 2000 and...
Cut. Skip.
No. Great. No, keep going.
No. No.
Yeah, great. Bad bit.
Kids are going to listen to this.
No, then. Okay. Continue.
My context that I want to add on to what you were saying is it was very telling watching this in a room with two young girls, one of whom's six, one of whom's four, and a young boy who's four, and the different parts they paid attention to. One of the funniest things, without a doubt, that was so cute to experience is the way that kids understand songs. They don't always have all the lyrics, but they've got the final line of every they've got the final syllable of every. So it's like literally, go anymore. Like they don't know any of the other lyrics, but they know when it gets to the belting part. And it was the same with Love is an Open Door. These kids were like begging to watch this movie, were really excited when I said, Tom has to kind of watch this for work, sort of. Let's not talk about it anymore.
Are not paying you.
No, I know. I said that in front of their parents. They're like, oh, really, for work, is it? And I was like, okay, like we don't need to, not in front of the kids.
No, keep going,
keep
parents.
Keep going, Uncle Tom.
How's your podcast going, idiot?
They just started nagging me so hard. Anyway, I put this on and the kids were so excited. They were so checked out the second Let It Go was done. They were just like, yep, that's it, the movie's over.
Of course.
But that's what I'm saying. When you guys are saying, oh, well, yeah, they know all the songs. They don't. When it gets past that, Olaf's kind of cute and funny, but they don't know his song. When it gets to the troll song where they're singing about Crystal, they don't. They like, what is this? Why are there middle-aged
people? She's a bit of a fixer-upper.
Give me a hypothetical percentage. If you wiped Let It Go from this movie, what would the audience look like in terms of children now? At that point,
if you get like, rid of
what,
that song,
what would drop off in percentage?
This movie made 1.2 billion, right? At the time, or 1.25 or whatever. When it came out, it was the fifth highest grossing film of all time. Without Let It Go, I think it makes like 300-400 million, right? Like it's still got these characters that kids can relate to. It's still got Olaf. It's still got Elsa, who's very iconic. But without that song, this movie falls apart.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It falls apart because I don't think it does much for the story.
I agree with that too. But that's
for kids, it's they just latch onto it. And like you can't fight that. Like even if we think it's shit, it's like, well, who's wrong here?
Can I tell you something I find a little bit quietly genius about Let It Go as far lyrically?
Yeah.
It is so vague. It does not advance the story. Mm-hmm. It is like in musicals, they have the, you know, this is a song to advance the plot. Now this is what the character's thinking. All the lyrics, at no point does she go, and now I'm the Snow Queen, you see what I mean, right? Or anything.
No,
it's just like,
hold on. I don't want to defend this necessarily, but isn't it her talking about having the freedom to do what she wants?
Letting go, and then you can apply that to any circumstance. So that's why it's become a show tune, is why it's become a track in any context that someone can get up and sing, because it's about letting it go. It's about being liberated. It's not about
the freedom.
It's not about letting your ice powers out. And the second they dropped any sort of actual lyrical reference to that, it becomes a standard.
So you could put it in like 12 Years a Slave and it would hit the same note.
They have.
Just let it go.
Did you not see 12 Years a Slave?
Let him go. Another reason I read the kids.
So far we've name dropped Human Centipede and 12 Years a Slave in the Frozen episode.
Another reason kids love it is because there's no bad guy. There's no like Maleficent or anything that's like terrifying.
Well, okay, I've got notes on this.
Hans for like 10 seconds.
The most toothless bad guy.
The last minute villain. Oh, right?
It makes no sense.
It's like, I want to take over the kingdom so I can make
money.
It's
almost like he just decided. Yeah, like, well, he just goes,
Frank, what you just said makes sense, actually.
That's what
the questioning tone of like, so what, he can have millions and millions of dollars? Who would want that?
And rule a kingdom?
But his way of doing it makes, he's like, well, of course I had to come out and get you both so I could bring you back so that then I could kill you and take over. It's like, no, she left you in charge. If you leave them
you
out
were
there,
in charge, literally. You
send a hit squad, man. And just get on with it.
Yes.
Let it go.
He saves Elsa, right? When they go to, he like knocks the arrow out of the way or whatever, you know, when the chandelier goes to fall.
It's a bit of a power move though. I know what he's doing.
Okay, well,
what's he doing?
I'm going to save you. Now I'm going to kill you.
Why do you know what that move is?
No.
Also leaves Anna in a room instead of killing
just
her.
Kill her.
I know
just
it's a kid's
her.
Movie, and if he suddenly just started strangling her, you'd be like, what the fuck?
She's turning blue. Ice joke.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Do you know what I did think was suspenseful was when she had been frozen and she's walking out on the lake and the huge storm is happening and Kristoff is like sprinting to get her. I was like, okay, I'm into this. And then Elsa and Hans rock up and you're like, wait, how did they get out on the ice? What's happening? And then Anna is like can barely, she's barely alive, right? Mm. And then she sees Elsa about to get killed and she sprints to
save
her.
Power of true love, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, awful. And
hey,
doesn't
mothers can lift cars off like newborns and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like there's that like extra tank that we've all got.
Person competitions. Adrenaline.
You have to do me a favor.
No.
And stop
about to
leaving newborns under cars to test that.
Whatever you stop.
Does it always work?
I'm going to save you. Now I'm going to kill you. Yeah, it's the same thing. No, I also loathe the fact that Anna saves Elsa and Elsa learns to control her powers through no act of her own. She's not tried to harness this. She's not really figured it out.
Yeah,
she's
didn't get a montage.
There's no training montage. There's no character development for her. She says, let it go. She shoots some ice at some people.
Yeah.
And then she can control it. She gets back to town. She's like, oh, love.
Honey, where is my super suit?
She goes, oh, love's the cure. Great. Everything's warm again. You're like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Elsa,
how? It's just silly.
Elsa lifting weights and drinking raw eggs really would have advanced this movie a little bit more.
The more we talk about it, the more I think we've sort of hit the nail on the head, though. I think it was like, I don't think even they cared. I think, like, we got what we wanted.
We got
the
let
song.
It go.
The kids don't care. They're not going to care because they're not going to watch the end.
And Olaf's a cute little character to sell.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to go back for rewatches at cinemas. They're going to belt out Let It Go and then they're going to spend the rest of the movie running around the cinema and throwing food.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like,
yep. Yeah. Okay.
It's worth comparing to a movie or a pair of movies that we've talked about recently, which are the Inside Out movies.
Yeah.
Which I would argue is an incredible act of economy in introducing the stakes and the characters. I get it. Their happiness, their sadness, their anger, disgust, fear, and they're inside the mind of a young girl and she misses her home. That's it. That's the log line. There's nothing else you need. And yet it gets at this very complex emotional truth, the difficulty of understanding sadness, but also knowing that it can be useful and that there are people in your life who will recognize it and that they will reach out to you and comfort you because of it. Mm-hmm. And that it can, if not enhance your life, it definitely can inform sections of it. This movie, the plot at the beginning, there's like 7 minutes and you're like, okay, so there's an ice girl who goes and plays with her sister and then she almost brains her, like throwing an icicle at her brain. And then they take them to trolls and the trolls are like, well, you understand, to fix her, we need to remove any memory that she has of the magic. And so we'll take that out, but we'll leave the fun times. So then you have to lock her up so she can never be seen again. And then also the parents leave and go, we shouldn't leave a contingency plan. We'll be fine. We're going to go into this tempestuous icy storm and then die on the seas.
Can we talk about that very unexpected death?
But everything that's happening at this point, I'm just like, why is this so complicated? Why is this not? Yeah,
they should just be sisters.
Elsa has powers and Anna resents her for it. And Elsa resents Anna for being normal. And then they can grow up with that resentment and try to overcome it.
Do you feel the resentment?
No, not at all. Anna's immediately like, I've got to go help my sister who hasn't spoken to me in 10 years.
Anna loves her so much and just doesn't stop loving her. But then they get together for the one day that they open up the castle and Elsa's freaking out because she's going to kill somebody with her eyes.
Yeah.
And then they see each other like, oh, hey, how are you?
Yeah, what's up, bro?
And you're like, what? You haven't seen each other for 14 years and that's the reunion?
it's Tom said it before.
Chocolate.
Undercooked.
And it's like, oh, okay, I get
undercooked.
It.
Oh, I remember you used to like chocolate as kids.
It makes no sense.
Again, we're probably overthinking it. It is for kids and they love it.
So is Inside Out.
Yeah, okay. You can do it better, but also like if you have that song and you have this visual, what do you need? Yeah. Do they care?
But we're not arguing the success of this. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're talking about
we think they've
missed the mark, right?
Yeah.
Honestly.
I don't think we will.
So again?
You said we'll outlive it all?
No, this movie will outlive us all.
Oh, yes.
I was a little more ready.
Yeah. I was like, no, we won't.
I think we're going to get bigger than Frozen one day.
This podcast is doing well.
Yeah. Another sidestep. Do you know obviously the parents die out at sea in the boat, right?
Of course
Have you heard the Disney conspiracy theory? You know how they try to link all the Disney films together?
Oh, I have heard, but I can't remember what it is.
Well, the parents, because if you look at the picture of them in this other film that I'm about to mention and the scenario, Tarzan's parents.
And
it connects. So and therefore, Tarzan is the brother of the two girls.
Right.
And Rapunzel's in the town.
And Rapunzel's just chilling in the town.
Sure. And the big summer blowout guy is...
See, him and the whole fjords thing and the Duke of Weaselton, who I loved, by the way, because it's Alan Tudyk.
Tudyk.
Just love him. I don't care. MVP. Alan Tudyk in every film ever. I'm petitioning for that.
Again, he's just made, not amazing. That he's not made for, like, but he's so good in animation. He's so great. Good at voice work.
Wow. Great. I, watching this with the young children, when Anna.
Please tell me you didn't have your shirt open.
No.
Let's just wait, clarify.
I was in Bali. I may have been in Speedos, but anyway. When
horrifying image.
Anna and Elsa are playing, and Elsa's like, "Stop!" and hits her in the head with an icicle. And I just involuntarily went, "Jesus Christ!" And I like turned to the kids and I'm like, "Is she dead?" And one of them goes, "No, she's sleeping." Yeah. And I was like, "Okay." Yeah. And then about
that's why her parents are freaking out.
But then 5 minutes later, the storm happens with the parents and the ship, and the ship goes under. I go, "Are they sleeping?" And one of the kids goes, "Sure."
Yeah. Just in David Jones' locker, maybe. Just like,
we haven't thought yet. Yes. Night-night.
Night-night.
Slumber party.
I'd say my take's not that's an icicle. It didn't feel like a physical thing hitting her. It honestly felt like a little, like a gust of snow, like a bit of snow.
Dragon Ball
like
power.
A snowball.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just hits her. There's no, like,
she's
it does,
no,
it does not feel serious. Head, no blood,
feel,
no gash.
No, it doesn't feel like there's any weight to it. Then the parents come in and they're like,
what?
I don't know. I said the word gash and I thought you were just going to jump on that.
I actually said she snowballed her sister, but you guys talked over it. So now I'm going to say it a little clearer. So it's there.
What does that mean? Is that a good joke?
Do you want to? Let's go to the butler's pantry for this one.
No, yeah. I think we're still in the pantry.
Yeah, we never got out of the pantry.
No, but to me, like she just got a bump on the head, right? To me.
Yeah.
Hits the ground and then they're like, cool, we're going shock therapy. The trolls come in, who, by the way, they don't believe in magic. Magic's a new thing for everyone, but trolls are cool.
Yeah, obviously magical, like, trolls who are
she's
rocks.
Got what? Magic? Oh, let's go see the trolls and ask him about this. Yeah. The enchanted trolls in the enchanted forest.
And also, the ice is magic. We heard it in the first song.
And the trolls, honestly, if you take their advice, it seems a little like they're like, what we're going to do is try and fix Anna psychologically. And I think you guys need to maybe, I don't know,
lock her sister up.
Be a bit more hands-on as parents. Like, got it, lock her in a room until she dies. Yeah. And they're like, not what we
lock
said.
Lock her in a room.
Not what we said.
Go sailing in a storm.
Also, don't the trolls crack it about someone marrying someone at first sight? Isn't that the whole thing? No. Oh, wait.
Kristoff does.
Kristoff
when he first
like,
meets
he
Anna.
He does, yeah. And
you
then,
got engaged to that guy?
Yeah, and then the trolls and...
Yeah, that's the bit.
That's the bit.
Yeah, the bit is they're like, and oh, well, like, here you are, you're getting
now
married.
Now you two
are
going to marry.
Right. Very funny that we've spoken about two movies now where characters, for no good reason, want to see... You know, kids' movies where one character wants to see another's penis. Shirley Henderson, obviously, as Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter movie.
Where are we going?
Yeah, where are we
remember,
going?
You remember what I'm talking about.
Okay, with Moaning Myrtle. Unfortunately, I do. Keep going.
He gets to the trolls and the troll family are like, he's back, he's here, come on, take your clothes off. And he's like, no, I'm going to leave my clothes off, thanks. And it's like,
let's see
your dung.
Yeah,
it's not really penis related.
Oh my God.
Take your clothes off. What else could it be?
Yeah, in a kid's movie, they think, like, let's go swimming.
I don't know. That's a weird bit. I honestly tuned out on that bit. So.
Yes. I want to mention something that I did like that seeing as we have really
well, Josh Gad as Olaf is like.
Josh Gad's a lot of fun.
Sorry. Also, Kristen Bell. What a singing voice.
She's just beautiful, though.
I think that's so interesting that you prefer Kristen Bell.
No, but Frank's opinions are askew. Don't worry about that.
You can't think Idina Menzel is
all over the shop.
No, Frank doesn't know.
I think Idina Menzel's voice has so much more character. I think Kristen Bell's voice is absolutely fine.
Can we not do this?
I think it's a little bit just kind of...
Are you insane? Are you actually deaf?
It's wild to me that you would argue Idina Menzel does not have... A recognizable, but you don't
recognizable.
I never said recognizable.
But you don't like that texture. That she
hates.
Did you like her for the listeners? If anyone doesn't know, Idina Menzel started in Rent.
Yeah, Maureen is Rent, and then
do you think she's
Elphaba.
Good as Maureen?
She's okay as Maureen, but she's meant to be like obnoxious and shrill. It's kind of the character,
that's
right?
True. I do agree.
So therefore, it works. She's bad in the movie version of Rent, and then she is awful as Elphaba. Awful.
I think she's really good in the movie version of Rent. But I agree, she is, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, this is a lot. And as the movie goes on, you're like, oh, right, that's what she's doing.
Moo with me.
Moo with me.
Like, it's,
yeah.
Look how avant-garde and performance art she is.
That stuff's
awful.
So good. Something I liked. I think the song, for the first time in forever, is okay.
Ugh.
It's whatever, right?
Well, yeah, but...
When she's jumping up and she's posing in front of all the portraits, great. I'm like, this movie needed so many more... sequences like this. Little creative visual bits.
Yeah. That's
like
a nice Olaf's
song. Like even some of the Love is an Open Door stuff, though it got a little bit samey after a while for me, but some of that was cute.
Yeah.
But I will agree with you guys that the Let It Go sequence visually is not all that arresting. It's fine. It's just she's making an ice palace
it's
and
pretty,
she's
it's
casting
pretty limited. It could have black screened at that point and people would still
that's like, kind of the point. The song is so Titanic. It's just like, what are you going to do? It's this song.
I found it visually very, very plain. Considering the size of the song and for what it stands for, I find that they really let it down in the visual department. Although, again, the snowflakes, like the snow and the effects from the snow are pretty impressive.
It's just all white and blue and you're like, okay, it just becomes a bit like,
it's
I'm
too
lost.
Much.
I'm
it's
lost
just
in a blizzard.
It's washed out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan Groff needs to sing more as well.
Yeah.
It's so weird that
what
he doesn't.
What song does he get in this?
He gets the ukulele one and that's
which is
it.
Actually really
with
lovely.
Sven.
Oh, he's that's just,
it's a nice moment. And tell you what, give me a whole film on Kristoff in the fjords. With some grand
summer
adventure with his reindeer,
he actually goes
I'd be honestly
he
on board with that.
Gets more to do in the second one, which weirdly I have seen and saw a few years ago because I was sitting with housemates and they put it on. I was like, I'll watch this. I think it's better.
Yeah.
Like hot take, Frozen 2 is
I wouldn't be surprised because Frozen they went slapdash like you said. Mm. It's the Frankenstein of stories, and they went, oh, this is huge. Let's make a good second
because
one.
Because the internet seems to think otherwise. They seem to think that Frozen 2 just like bit the dust,
the
basically.
The story is chaotic in Frozen 2.
Sure.
But almost in an admirable way where they're like, we need to really twist now.
So we're going to go from not trying to trying too hard?
To get out of the idea that Elsa, we cannot now turn around in the second one and go, all right, well, let's give her a love interest. Like, what is going to be?
Yeah.
And now that she's accepted who she is, what do we do? And it becomes this very elaborate story of her realizing that there are these like...
Join the X-Men. All right, that's where they should have gone with it. You freak.
Not bad.
That's what was missing in this movie. Brutal.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
I'm not sorry, actually. No, I'm hijacking your point.
No, just that the second movie is much more about this idea that there's like an elemental origin to Elsa and to like there's the fire people and
because they finally go, oh, we better explain magic and the rules here.
Because there's nothing is explained. Nothing
it
else.
It doesn't make sense in the second one, but there's almost an admirable quality to them trying to deepen it.
Yeah.
And I like quite a few of the songs in the second one.
Sing the second one.
Into the unknown. Into the unknown.
He on some vibrato on
I
that.
I do love vibrato on that.
Vibrato.
All right. Chris Buck. Can we talk about Chris Buck?
Who's Chris Buck?
Chris Buck directed this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
With Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Lee is the first woman ever to direct a Walt Disney animated feature film in 2013.
And
so
she had to have Chris Buck help her?
Only in 2013 or only ever?
Only ever. Okay. Chris Buck started on it. Jennifer Lee started as a screenwriter who actually wrote some of Wreck-It Ralph. And then she got pulled onto this to help with the screenplay and she moved into doing the directing.
So it's kind of like Shrek, how they had that two directors in the situation.
They did, whose names I can't remember right now, but yes,
I think
you're
it was
quite
Chris
right.
Buck and Jennifer Lee. No.
It's definitely
can't
not.
Can't be right.
Vicky
but Chris Buck was like an animator coming up through his career, did Little Mermaid, Mulan, Hercules, Aladdin, like
animated on all these
classics.
Wow.
Like pretty incredible career.
Whoa, yeah.
And then directed this and it's like, oh. You can't even fault him because it's one of the most
successful
films of all time.
Debut for him in terms of director?
I believe so. That's a good question. I believe it is his.
If that's the case, yeah, maybe give it a little bit of credit, I suppose. If he's jumped from animation on some of the biggest films arguably ever made in Disney.
Their job was basically they left port with a bunch of people with different.
This is the Tarzan, Surf's Up. Frozen.
Of course. Surf's Up?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Surf's Up. But I like,
Surf's Up's fun.
I like Tarzan.
I like Surf's Up. Tarzan's great. Phil Collins, wow.
The way I conceive of an animated film of this scale is, they had a bunch of people with floaties and a bunch of raw ingredients, and as they were leaving port, they were like, we need to construct a ship in real time, And I can't help you guys do that because I'm steering us to make sure we don't get lost. So every now and then I'm going to turn back and be like, yeah, that's great. I guess you've got the bow. Oh, that's the mast.
This isn't an analogy?
This is, no.
I don't remember this.
This is what I did on my holiday, guys. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is what I was talking
about. So Tom's in a speedo at the front.
Funny
of the
way
boat.
Of saying jet ski and getting drunk. Yeah. Go on.
Midlife crisis much?
I've got kids on a banana boat behind me. I'm like, you guys have to make a ship. They're like, what are we doing?
What's that, Jaws 3 with a banana boat?
Oy, yay, yay.
Anyway, then he kind of directed nothing else.
Frozen. That's interesting that he did Tarzan, though. You said Tarzan?
Yeah.
So yeah, well, that connects it.
Same world. Yeah.
There you go.
He can't escape
Good on
that
him.
World.
Good for him.
You'll be in my heart.
What if they say something?
Was that
yes,
Phil Collins'
you'll be
kid?
In my heart.
I'm pretty sure boom, 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 boom. He skipped the no matter what
they
say.
What about a boom, a biggity, a boogity boom. No, what's that?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Shabba-doo, shabba-doo, shabba-doo,
guess who sings that?
NSYNC and Phil Collins just fucking slapping it.
Mate, they nailed that.
They just
that.
Fucking put their dicks on the table it. And they're and like, they come on, guys, let's make a toot. Wabba-doo, wabba-doo, wabba. Love that song.
My gosh. Okay. So,
Raiding the Camp is the name of that song.
Do we have an MVP? Are we going to do MVP?
Let's do an MVP.
Why not?
Let's do an MVP.
I was just killing time, just for fun. Frank, you go first.
Josh Gad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. All off.
It's probably Josh Gad, isn't it?
Who?
Yeah. I think
I'm surprised you don't like Kristen Bell. Like
I don't dislike Kristen Bell. I think she's kind of.
I tried to go to bat for her and you were like, oh, I can't believe you like her, idiot. That's what you said to me.
I did say
Marcus,
that.
Marcus, who's your MVP?
I might give it to Jonathan Groff.
Yeah, why?
I tell you what I really like about his character is that as a somewhat Disney prince in a weird way, he qualifies. He's big of stature. He just
like Gene Kelly.
Like he
like
just doesn't
Gaston.
Like, yeah, but he's a villain. Mm. My point is, you don't have that sort
Gaston
of
he's my hero.
That slender, stereotyped handsome that they normally go for. He's this big, sort of oafish, but endearing and kind of like he feels like he could protect you a little bit. He feels more like a Disney prince than the others do.
You want to be held by Kristoff.
I just want to be he's cradled big, by Jonathan yeah. Groff, to be honest.
Yeah,
cradled.
Yeah.
And son mate, too.
Speaking of, yeah.
Nice guy.
He's great.
Jonathan Groff.
No, I think there was a lot of wasted potential.
What do you mean Jonathan Groff, am I right?
No, Jonathan Groff. I changed it slightly. I switched the vowel.
Jonathan likes it Groff.
Yeah.
I
wish there was a U in Jonathan Groff, as in me. I wish I was Jonathan Groff.
Anyway, he's great. I think he's excellent.
Really
I think
sexy.
A lot of wasted. Shut up. Shut up. You're sickening me.
He is very sexy. He's a very talented
no, he,
man.
It was wasted potential with Kristoff, but I think there was a whole thing there, and I think he did really well with bad writing.
I just want to say quickly, Hans's character design is the grossest looking person I've ever seen.
Agreed.
Jonathan Groff is so handsome.
Yeah.
That character is sickening to look at.
Yeah.
Mm. Something's wrong about the colour of him.
Mm. Well, that's a weird pull, but yeah.
You know, like his skin tone looks, and then his hair is kind of
he's
orange,
sickly with thin hips.
It's such tiny hips.
Tiny.
I don't know. I wish they almost played him more as a villain, like dark
from
hair.
The get-go? Like-
Yeah,
like they decided from the start.
Like it wasn't an afterthought. Yeah. But imagine if, you know, he's like flirting with Anna and then they have their song and then he goes, yes, yes, an open door, is it, love? Yeah. Or something, you know. And you go, yeah, okay, he's bad.
Open door to my dungeon.
Oh,
Jesus. Yeah, the kids would have loved that. Yeah. You guys should have been in the room to get
They
notes.
Weren't listening. They didn't care. They tuned out. We've established this.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
I think Josh Gad's the MVP for me because he's the most unexpected.
So the MPP?
Okay.
Olaf's fine for me, but I think that to me it was just another stereotype like comic relief thing and it didn't land for me quite the same. I still think it's fine. I think he
I
does
see
a
what
really
you're
great job.
I just can't resist him in a like you've seen him as Elder Cunningham, right? Or you've seen any clip of him in Book
this
of Mormon?
Is this Book of Mormon? No.
This is Book of Mormon you talk about?
No.
The visual medium here was Tom and I just shook our head looking at him like, what the fuck are you keep going?
Anyway, he's truly remarkable in it's the versatility of his tone.
Where would
he
you?
He can do so much. The opposite of Idina Menzel.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Whatever. The idea that Idina Menzel doesn't have dynamic in her vocals is very silly, but that's fine.
Guys.
That she doesn't have a warm, sultry tone that then builds to a big belt, but that's
wrong,
all right.
Wrong
that's
on both right. fronts.
That's fine.
Erroneous.
Now kiss.
I'm so sad now I taught kiss. Him that word.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn.
You would come back.
You can't sentence. Teach me crap.
Tom is erroneous. Need I say more? I think that Josh Gad underplays so much in this, and that was the surprise to me. That it wasn't just,
because
hey, I'm Olaf. Gabba, gabba, gabba. It's like a lot of it was him actually
to
being.
To be fair, that's so accurate. It sounds like he would do that.
Yes, that's what I was afraid he was going to do. And he comes in and he goes, hi, I'm Olaf.
Yeah,
I'm Olaf.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it's very understated.
Oh, that's really cute.
And then he walks into the ice place like, Elsa.
Yes,
he's very cute,
bit
very
much in the second one, but he has a fantastic part in it where he acts out the first movie. They meet the trolls, and he's like, "I'll tell you what happened," and he tells them.
The trolls in the second one.
Yeah, there's so many trolls in the second one. I think they're trolls. There are other magical creatures.
Have you guys seen Trolls,
Marcus? You and trolls.
because again, I was trying to give this film a chance, and the whole troll subplot thing really bugged me.
Yeah, took a troll.
Mm. Yeah,
took a troll.
Yeah, what?
I'm under their bridge.
Well, you have to pay a toll. The toll troll.
Yeah. If we don't get no tolls, we don't eat no rolls.
Trolling on a
is
river.
Is anyone throwing in the pal? Is anyone going to 4.7?
Did we all consider convince each other?
No, you know what? I'm going to do it just for the sake of it, because why not? So we can land on it. I'm going to go to a 4.8.
That's great.
I think because you got me right at the end because of the Olaf thing. Because I think you are absolutely right. He did underplay it, and it was. Kind of great.
It is good.
It's the perfect amount.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to throw. I'm guessing you're not, Tom.
I'll go down to a 4.8.
No.
Don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it. Shut up.
The one time I was going to change it.
Oh,
Marcus.
That was aggressive. That was really aggressive.
Thank you.
Quite hard.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. That was Frozen. I guess kids are wrong and they like dumb movies.
I've been attacked.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got really violent there. I'm sorry.
I don't know what to do now.
Frozen.
Thanks for throwing the power. My name is Frank.
Gosh, I'm so shocked. I'm Tom.
I hit people. I'm Marcus.
And that was Frozen. Instagram us and tell us why we're wrong. And if you think Idina Menzel is good or Let It Go is good, then tell me why.
Yeah.
Fight me. DM me. Come at me. All real.
Tyler, be sex, though.
Yes. Throw in the power.